The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And then he had said this. He showed him his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of boiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to the understanding the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning with Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, I need a volunteer. Who is feeling, no, Johnny, not you. Who is feeling courageous this morning? Oh, all right, Sevilla, bless your heart. Come on down. I knew somebody would feel courageous this morning. All right. Can you raise your right hand and put your left hand on the Bible? Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
All right. You may lower your hands. Okay. Can you state your full name for me?
Sevilla Ann Hammond.
Great. I can't help you with that one, okay? Just so you know. Okay. All right, Sevilla, would you tell me, if I asked you your age, would you tell me?
Yes, I would.
Okay, that's good. How old are you?
82.
Well, wow. That needs eight. Awesome. I hope I look as good as you at 82. All right. In your entire life, have you ever lied?
Yes.
Okay. She was getting a she had to think about that one.
I thought I answered quickly.
Yeah, you did. You did. But there was a hesitation. And I think the hesitation is she's afraid of what the next question is going to be. Yeah, I know. I know. So you can go sit down. Oh. Thank you. How many of you have ever served as a witness in a court system? Okay, quite a few of you. Okay. Well, you know that serving as a witness in a courtroom, though they don't use the oath that I just did, is really a serious thing. You can get into trouble for lying on the witness stand, right? But taking an oath on a Bible in front of God, well, that kind of raises the bar, doesn't it? When we are a witness to an event, either good or bad, we want to make sure that we get things right. We don't want innocent people to be hurt, and we want to make sure that we represent correctly what we have witnessed. How we witness to something can have a great impact on those who hear us, right? We have a choice on how we will witness. We can focus on the truth, or we can choose to not get involved, to let others maybe stick their necks out or take a chance. Choices. It's something that is part of being human. Each day we have to make a choice of how we will witness to this world based on our own life experience. In our gospel passage from Luke today, we have 11 witnesses. After Jesus opens the minds of the 11 to the Old Testament scripture, he says this, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that the repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." And then he adds this last statement, "You are the witnesses of these things." You are the witnesses of these things. Yes, these 11 disciples were witnesses to seeing what was written about the Messiah, the Savior of God's people, and they saw it all happen before their eyes. But there was a big problem. These disciples of Jesus were not just afraid, they were terrified. Jesus' sudden appearance to the disciples after his death on the cross was to comfort them, to give them eyewitness account of his resurrection. These eyewitnesses had a responsibility. They are called to witness to others, to proclaim the good news of Jesus' victory over sin and death to all nations. In order for the disciples to witness to the risen Jesus, they are putting their own lives on the line. We could put it into today's terms. Imagine that you witness someone being murdered, but the person that you witness committing the murder, committing the crime, was a member of the mob or a cartel. Now, of course, the government offers you witness protection for your testimony, but we've all seen the movies of how well that goes, right? I think we have a new plot for one of your books, Becky. I think we could write something about that. Can you imagine the courage it would take to actually be a witness when your life is on the line? Maybe you have been in that situation and know what courage that would take to be a witness. Thinking about the disciples' witness of Jesus' resurrection, well, maybe now you can understand what these first disciples were facing. Their leader and teacher for the last 3 years has been crucified, and the Jewish authorities are looking for Jesus' followers. Last week in John's gospel, we heard that the disciples were behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. They were afraid for their lives. Our passage in Luke takes place right after two of Jesus' other disciples, not the inner circle of 11, were on their road to Emmaus, and they returned because they had met the risen Lord on that road when he opened the scriptures to them, and they recognized him in the breaking of bread. They had just told the inner 11 that they had seen the risen Lord. And this is where our passage this morning begins. Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." No locked doors kept Jesus out, and they were startled. I would have been startled too, but they were also terrified. They thought Jesus was a ghost. Jesus tries to calm their fears by eating something, showing him that he is not a ghost, but he had flesh and bones. Mind you, flesh and bones that can go through locked doors, but flesh and bones nonetheless. Jesus opens their minds of that inner circle like he did on the two on the road to Emmaus of all the Old Testament, the Hebrew scripture. And he prepares them to be his witnesses to all the nations. These 11 had much to witness to testify to what they saw and heard, to tell the truth. the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It began with Jesus. They were with Jesus for 3 years, and they listened to Jesus taught. They watched Jesus heal so many people, and they watched him do numerous miracles. And now they are the witnesses to Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Last week I asked, what changed these disciples from terrified disciples to being bold witnesses? Well, it first is their eyewitness encounter of the risen Lord. But that wasn't necessarily enough to get them out of their comfort zone, to step out of that comfort zone, which I asked us all to start doing. They needed an extra push, and that came with the second thing that they needed. They needed the Holy Spirit to be with them. It isn't until the disciples receive the Holy Spirit that they begin to boldly witnessing to the nations. The first eyewitness disciples did something else too. They wrote down their eyewitness accounts to share with those that would come after, to share with us. We heard last week in John's gospel, now Jesus did many things, signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing, you may have life in his name. Jesus' disciples had a choice to make. They could stay terrified and witness to their hardships and the unjust killing of their leader, or they could witness to the love and life of Jesus Christ. We know what choice they made. We wouldn't be here if they didn't make that choice. You see, we too are asked to witness to Christ to all nations. I'm going to get a taste of that for at least 12 countries in a very short time. We may not be eyewitnesses of Jesus himself in the flesh, but we have his writings and his encounters from those that were the eyewitnesses of the New Testament. We have the first century television, so to speak, of those eyewitnesses. And we also have something that the first disciples had. We have the strength of the Holy Spirit given in baptism. But we have one more thing. We have our own eyewitness accounts of transformed lives, the testimony of real people and real lives that have been transformed by putting their trust in Jesus of Nazareth as their Lord and Savior. And I'm sure we can all think of examples of how real people they know have turned their lives around by their faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you have your own eyewitness account to share. How has Jesus transformed your life? How could you tell others about that transformation? Witnessing does not need to have heavy theological jargon. It's not how Jesus witnessed to the truth. He told stories, and his disciples retold Jesus' stories, and then they added some of their own stories. That is how we spread Christianity today. Real life people having real life transformations and then sharing those transformations with others. You and I are witnesses of these things. What Jesus meant for the 11, he means for us also. Proclaim the good news to all nations. Is it scary? Yes. Maybe even terrifying at times. But it's what we are called to do. And I guarantee, especially here in this country, we are not going to die for our witness. Like the eyewitness disciples, our call to witness to the truth, that Jesus Christ defended sin and death. Once he defeated it, once for all. And through faith in him, we have eternal life. Jesus asks us today, God asks us today, who will be my witness? What is our answer? What choice will we make? Jesus is talking to us also when he says, you are witnesses of these things. Amen.